Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yeah! Johnny, that's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up live show, the No Laying Up podcast. Wherever you may be consuming this medium, my name is DJ Pajowski. I'm joined by my good friend Chris Solomon. He was out at Augusta all day. He's going to have all kinds of observations from the most famous golf tournament in the world. We're going to have all kinds of other guests rolling through. We've got all kinds of segments planned. But first, we are brought to you today by our good friends at High Noon. High Noon just got a whole lot bigger with High Noon large cans, 24-ounce cans. Solly, I was sprinting around the Whole Foods yesterday. I got the last case of tequila. I was all jacked up about that. And Cody's like, no, we're doing the big cans ad today.
Big can time.
Big cans.
Are you afraid of calling it big cans? It's okay. They're called the big cans.
I'm just, you know how this happens. People clip the audio. I don't want to get AI.
Now they're going to clip it.
Yeah, exactly. Now available in vodka, seltzer, peach, and pineapple, and the all-new tequila seltzer lime big can. There you go, Cody. Grab one, get out in the sun. These things have reclosable lids that allow you to sip at your own pace. They're perfect for a day at the beach or out on the greens. Solly may need you to attest to some of that from the nice weather down there. Find them at your nearest convenience store in the single-serve beer and hard seltzer section or at highnoonspirits.com. High Noon, suns up. Sorry, I feel like you never hit the slogan there. High Noon, suns up. We are also brought to you today.
I don't get that copy. This is different really? Copy, man. I don't get the suns up copy. This is bullshit.
They must have known Daddy was coming through the hosting chair tonight. We are also brought to you by our good friends at FootJoy. We're going to hear more from them later. No more joyful week in golf than Masters Week. Later in the show, we are going to be celebrating our moments of joy, brought to you by a partner who knows a little bit something about joy, FootJoy, the official shoe, glove, and rainwear partner of No Laying Up. And listen, for all the people in the comments, no, he's not. He is mourning, but not so much that he had to take the day off work. We are going to bring in our third chair today. TC, I know it's been a rough day for you, my man. Just highs and lows this week. The birthday, obviously, some tragic news today about your dear uncle Juice. But other than that, how you doing?
I'm hanging in. I first of all, I want to say thank you to everybody. I got probably thousands of messages today, phone calls, emails.
It was hundreds DMs. 2 minutes ago.
More than your birthday.
Yeah, more are coming in. No, I don't tell people about my birthday. People knew about the juice today. And it was, man, what a tough one to wake up to.
Sure.
And so I've been kind of hanging with some friends and trying to, even Augusta was recognizing it there. But yeah, it means the world that everybody took time out of their day to just say thank you and pass along some memories.
So. I truly cannot wait to see where this bit goes. It's at its natural conclusion. It's been a decade now that this bit has been running, and I don't know where we're going from here, but I can't wait to find out. Solly, I feel like I've been rambling my face off here.
It's hard doing the hosting duties, isn't it?
No, it's good. It's good. I just, a proper welcome to you. I hope you had a great day out at Augusta. How are things going over with you?
It was a dream come true day. I've always wanted to do this. I have, through various career choices I've made, need to spend a lot of time in front of a computer and a phone having people yell at me while watching major championship golf. It was nice to leave that in the media center and walk around and watch world-class golf on just an incredible, incredible, incredible landscape in an unbelievable environment with all the patrons and the energy out there. It was fantastic. I feel like I'm drinking from a fire hose trying to get caught up on everything, but I had my head up all day and not looking at my phone, and I was watching some amazing golf. Went out, followed the Scotty, Rory, Xander pairing. I figured no matter what happened in that group, we were going to learn something from that one today. Knew we were going to talk Scotty tonight, knew we were going to talk Rory. Xander was probably going to get a cursory mention tonight, and got to see all their golf up close and personal today, and had definitely had some takeaways from it.
I mean, if you get to watch Scotty play 18 holes at the Masters today, like, I don't know what else really you have to, like, catch up on. You're like, you didn't miss anything out. Like, that's it.
Well, Bryson's back. Oh, like, sure. I missed that. I'm sad I missed that. I mean, there's all these fluctuations on the leaderboard. It is really weird. One of the weirdest things is having to rely on leaderboards out there, like finding a leaderboard for score updates. And early on in the day, they don't have like the leaders up there. They keep the four major champions and the reigning US AM champ at the top of the board for like most of the day. So you're like, all right, Ryan Fox and, you know, Erik van Rooyen are doing stuff. Is anybody else? Like, you have no idea what, some of the other big names are doing. So it was really a bit of dark information wise out there.
Well, let me go to a guy, you know, I know he doesn't even look at leaderboards, you know, he's just stuck to his process. We're going to start. Let's go around the horn. Story of the day. TC, first draft pick. I know it's been a tough day for you, so we'll give you the first pick. What is the story of the day for you here?
Story of the day was Bryson. I had a weird feeling. I said it in the preview pod on Monday, and then he was part of my picks on Wednesday in our happy hour. But Bryson, just, you know, we'll see if he can keep it going tomorrow, but he's weird. He's a doofus. He's just insufferable sometimes, but he is a content machine, and I've missed him so much. And it's good to have him back.
Bryson DeChambeau with a 265 at in round one, one bogey. Listen, a lot of people are going to make that joke, but it was a joy, man. You want to talk about feeling the joy watching Bryson out there. TC, we're laughing our asses off about like the him taking his hat off at 18 and then not realizing his hat was already off and try to further doff his cap. Was just, that's the kind of stuff we've been missing, man. We're gonna have KBV spent his morning following Bryson, so we're gonna bring him in a little bit and talk a lot more about him. But Solly, let's go to you. Number two story of the day. What do you got?
Scott Scheffler. I think a graduation from Scotty today into Scott, because it was just an adult grown-up round of golf. Maybe when he becomes a dad, he'll drop the final TIE. I'm wondering if he will.
I proclaimed that this morning before he teed off. I'm not doing Scotty anymore. I'm not participating in that. We're going with Scott Scheffler from here on out.
It was just world-class stuff that, you know, I don't need to see every round in person, but every now and then you go, you need to see one just to see the ball flight, see the window it's coming out of, see it compared to the other two guys they're playing with. Like, get an appreciation for him getting it on the right shelf on the back part of the ninth green with the wind whipping off the right and hitting it.
Dude, that
and
was it's sick.
Totally different trajectory of the window that Rory hit it out of, and Rory's got eaten up by the wind and it went to the middle of the green. Every time he gets it. So I picked Scotty, and I think I'm rooting for Scotty to win this week. I think it's gone from the worst thing that can happen in pro golf to maybe the best thing that can happen in pro golf, because I think we are seeing somebody make a leap into true greatness, and he's got to have a second major to kind of get that ball rolling. And it's like investing in Apple is what the feeling was out there. I've never felt less emotional. It's the complete opposite of rooting for Spieth. It is. It's just like, all right, well, he's short-sided there. He's going to get that up. Oh, he actually hold it from the bunker. That's actually okay. He missed short into 13. Oh, it holds up on the hill. He's definitely getting that one up and down. He played that shot in like under 10 seconds when it was his turn, because he was completely aware that he was going to get that one up and down. He's probably going to stuff it in there on 16 as well. Throws one down the elevator shaft on 15 from the top of the hill. I mean, there were people just laughing in the crowd. After he hit a shot into 16, the group of people in the stands that also saw him drop one down the elevator shaft on 15 just like started laughing when he stuffed it again. And he was 6 under par walking off that green, and it could not have looked easier. I was just so impressed to see it in person, and I'm glad I picked that group today.
Solly, if he's you know, if he's Apple stock, I'm Steve Jobs then, baby.
That's true.
TC was true. You are controversial. You quote, do got to hand it to him every now and then, even if the path to getting there isn't always the smoothest.
Solly, the shot into 9 was where, you know, him and Rory were in similar spots, and those were radically different shots that they hit. And that was such a litmus test today, that shot into 9 off of a little downhill lie with the wind swirling and back pin. And I mean, Scotty's was like, not only did he get it to the back shelf, he got it to a spot where, like, such a great spot to putt from back right there. Meanwhile, Rory comes up short and never even had a chance of getting back there. Looked like a little boy.
And I've never done this before, because I usually take notes in my phone, but I actually took a notepad out there today and wrote down a bunch of notes. The thing I started for the ninth hole was, this shot is pure artistry. There is no range you can practice this shot. with, you know, the wind was kind of into off the tee, so they couldn't get all the way down to the bottom of the slope. The ball was hanging below his feet, and the wind was coming in and off the right, and how far you wanted to draw it with it was going to determine how far it flew. It was just like, dude, one, I don't want to hit any of these shots. Like, it looks so freaking hard out there. And just to watch him flight one in that trajectory window, Xander went, it was a complete disqualifying shot from Xander. He went up the walkway.
Real quick, on the Xander note, I'd like for us to start calling him Alexander or Al. I'm tired
weird,
of like
or Weird Al, as you said.
Weird Al. It could be like similar to like the whole Scotty thing. Like, I think we need to go the other way with Xander of like, yo, you're Al or Alex or Alexander. No more
big
Xander.
Al, big Al Shoffley.
Well, it, his the thing about Scotty shot in a 9-2 was like it was like 6 inches away from like taking the slope and going down to about 5 feet. Like, that was, it was just awesome. It was just like so many we've talked about this a ton. Everybody talks about this a ton, but there's just so many shots out there that you can't practice, and it's like you either have this or you don't. And we saw a lot of that from Tiger this afternoon too. We can talk about him, but again, just to feel all those elements. I'm sure it was well documented on TV how windy it was, but it's kind of one of those things where you're kind of like, I mean, is it really? And you go feel it. It was insane. I mean, there were people's hats flying off by the 18th green and blowing up the hill towards the clubhouse, JC Sneed style. Like, it was some of the tougher conditions of a tournament that I've attended in person. I know the scores were relatively low. The pins were pretty benign today. But, dude, it was freaking intense out there.
It was a weird one. Didn't quite know what to make of it, right? Because you kept hearing, like, you can see the trees just like blowing like crazy, right? And so I'm watching it, and I texted you guys. I'm like, God, this afternoon's gonna get so hard. Like, this is gonna be Ian awesome. And then Ian Baker Finch is like, oh my God, this place is just ripe for the taking right now. There's birdies and eagles flying everywhere, which, like, to an extent, I guess there was, but I don't want to make so devil on, you know, one shoulder, angel on the other shoulder here. Don't want to make too much of this as one round. But also, this felt like totally encapsulating of the last like year, as far as like Rory and Scotty, and watching those two back to back was exactly what you said about the shot on 9. The shot on 15 was the same thing, right? Where those guys are both hitting the same shot. Scotty just drops it down there like that Bryson IBM commercial, and Rory hits kind of like a poofy, spinny, doesn't really know which way he's trying to work it kind of shot, and it just. So I'm curious what your takeaway was from a Rory perspective, watching him up against, you know, your guy Derrick Henry.
That's, yeah. I mean, it was interesting to me how I just noted this on the front nine that he gave up two, like Scotty gained two shots on Rory on the par threes on the front nine. Like, when Rory can't use his superpower, he's losing shots, right? I guess as I'm doing the math here, I mean, Scotty got lucky holding out, you know, from the back bunker on 12, but Scotty played the par threes 3 under today, and Rory played him 1 over or no, even. I think he played him. He birdied 12, right? Rory birdied 12. I forget. Yeah. So, I mean, he gave him 3 shots to Scotty when he couldn't use his driver, right? And there's only 4 holes where you're not using your driver. So it is, you know, it everything about this place is exactly like we've said. It's about precision with the iron play and hitting the right shots. Rory did hit one great wedge into 14. That pin was really sneaky hard today downwind just over that front knob, and he drove one way down there, used his length to an advantage, and hit a high ball up there with proper spin and made a birdie on that one. I was really impressed by that. It wasn't – it was just mediocre from Rory, maybe even average. I don't know. I'm not even sure it was mediocre. It was – you know, not a disastrous start, not a blitzing start. It doesn't look like a guy that's going to win as of standing here right now. It still looks like somebody that's just kind of hoping the ball is going to go in. He had some bad putts on the front nine. He had a really bad putt on the 16th hole. Unfortunately, you know, when it looked like he was going to, you know, when he was kind of vibing a little bit at that point, got a great break on 15. But I mean, again, and he looked a lot better than Xander did, that's for sure. But anybody going up against next to Scotty, I still think Rory's going to top 10, but you know,
That could be a stick your neck out bet.
When he goes out, listen to the preview. Like airmails 2 green with a wedge,
and then
pars 13 and 15. I'm like, fuck this, like, get out of here, man. Like, go, like, put somebody else on the screen. I'm good.
Yeah, we might need to tap. We're gonna do a little segment throughout this week where we're calling in some people from the bullpen for some late innings to come in and throw some high heat. We might need to get Neil in here, you know, Friday afternoon, get a little temperature of what the block party is feeling like this week, because there were some bleak moments.
Neil, we were texting Neil and Cody today, and Neil was like, "Yeah, the caterer didn't show up."
Oh,
he's like, "Wait, you're getting the block party catered?"
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Like, I thought this was supposed to be about grills and community and camaraderie and you know, Yeti's full of beer, and he's talking about food trucks and high-end
catering. Blaming the service industry. Yeah. It's just not what we're about. I you know, first round is very much incomplete right now, so I don't know if we really have, I don't know if we can have a third story of the day, but if I was making a vote, I'm throwing a vote behind the pro.
Yeah.
And what he was doing out there late in the day playing with the cat, you know, coming down to 13, really like needing to decide whether they're going to finish or whether they're going to mark and putt tomorrow, gets a wedge up and down from the middle of the fairway, chooses to lay up there from the fairway, hits a little nippy wedge in there, and then cashes the putt to get one back after bogey in 12. That's a true, like, going to make dinner taste really good type of thing. I'm just stoked for him. I know he's got a massive monkey on his back with all the major stuff. Hasn't been playing particularly great, or hasn't at least been putting up very good finishes the last couple weeks, months, and then gets paired with Tiger Woods. So I feel like this was a pretty good litmus test on how he was feeling out there. And it was awesome to see him answer the bell. So pumped to see what he does in the morning.
Sully, we have a ban on you tweeting about him.
Yeah, well, just anyone that's on a hot streak, you know, I'm the cooler. So I come in, he's on a great run. I didn't get to see much of it, and I'm not going to say anything. Just not going to say a word about it. Just going to let it unfold. Let it all happen.
I do think on the pro, real quick, couple backstopping incidents with the cat. Gotta wonder there a little bit. I took some flack too for saying, hey, that's a comfy pairing. That, you know, some people were coming at me saying, oh, they, you know, like, playing with the cat isn't a comfy pairing at all. Like, you got everybody in the world watching you. I think Max likes that. I think he likes the moment. I think he genuinely, like, feels inspired and gets him up playing with the cat. And I think he proved that today.
I think that's exactly right. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
There's something, again, this is the first time I've ever walked a tournament round at Augusta National, but there's something a little different about playing at the Masters, I would think, with Tiger, just because there's not that many people on the grounds here. Like, it's not a massive, you know, massive crowd, and there's great viewing spots everywhere, and it just, the way traffic flows, it's not the same like buzz that follows. It's not the same, like, you are locking down this side of the golf course, everyone's sprinting up ahead as soon as Tiger figures out, you know, holes out. I've seen that at the Memorial, I've seen that at Bay Hill, I've seen that a lot of places, and it's just not the same kind of crowd that turns up to watch a golf tournament. So it's not the same level of distraction, I don't think, here, weirdly, than at other tournaments.
I also don't think, I mean, Max is also not like a 22-year-old kid anymore, right? Like, he's been in he's played a lot of golf tournaments. He's played with Tiger a bunch. He's gotten, like, you know, he's talked to him behind the scenes a bunch. He won his tournament at Riv. I know they, like, have talked a lot. Like, Max has been on the pack for a long time. Tiger's been doing all kinds of stuff behind the scenes. Like, I think they talk a lot, and some of that starstruck factors is probably gone a little bit more than people realize as well. But one other
story from today, Sally, speaking of cooler, the masters.com and the Masters app was super glitchy and slow all day today, and I just, you went and toured that yesterday. Did you mess something up in there too?
I asked too many questions about how it was all happening. I must have messed with some settings when they were showing us stuff, but I was disappointed. I tried to get back on to go catch up on some you know, the every shot, and there's a ton of shots missing in there. I wanted to see Bryson shot into 15, which was supposedly one of the shots of the day, and that wasn't it on the website. But yeah, it's unfortunate. That's a rare L. It is. KBV compared it to the Louis C.K. bit about Wi-Fi on the plane not working. Like, it's insane that this technology even exists, but as soon as you take it away from me, I'm very, very, very upset about it. But that's pretty much the sentiment.
I think that's right. A couple other names, just so family members don't get upset. TC, we've got your guy Højgaard, 5 under with 3 to play.
Daniel, yeah, we got a lot of hoes up there.
Daniel Willett. I know that made our friend Patty quite chuffed and inspired to see his countryman hang up a little 68. We mentioned Max. Foxy hit one of truly the worst shots I've ever seen a pro hit today on 13. Just 5-hopping one into the creek with a wedge. That's about as bad as it gets.
I didn't see this.
Cam Davis.
Oh, it was awful. You would have been jumping through the screen. Because you would have been so furious that he was playing well in the first place.
Totally.
Probably because he felt like
the Fox bit that I hate Ryan Fox.
Wow. Yeah, that would be just like you to ask that question.
Yeah. Was he trying to lay up on the shot? Field. I don't know what he was trying to do.
He had like a wedge. It was just trying to hit this like little shallow nippy one and just like laid 6 inches of sod over it. It was sick. Would recommend people go back and watch that shot on the Masters website if it's up. Cam Davis 3 under, Tyrrell Hatton 3 under, Corey Connors continues his strong form at the Masters. Ben on Neiman TC, I believe that was a block you were on.
I was on the Neiman block. I was on the Cam Davis block too.
Little Willie Zalatoris gives one back at the 18th. Gives a couple back coming
17
in.
17 and 18.
A really nice.
I can't channel it like TC does. I can't channel it to be like, I was on that Corey Connors block. Where were you guys? He's absolutely stunting on you guys. Absolutely making you look foolish, TC.
You
gotta have it, TC. You gotta say a word about Corey Connors.
You gotta believe. You gotta believe. I will say Zalatoris, awesome eagle on 13. That was cool to see.
Thank you, TC.
I think I'm glad that Zalatoris is in the mix. I'm hoping for big things from him the next couple of days.
I mean, he was up on the board all day, and then couldn't find out what happened. He bogeyed 17 and 18. I did not see how those unfolded, but that was otherwise we'd be talking about that one. That was he had to 4 under at one point.
Yeah. Only other guys I want to mention, Ludvig playing his first major round ever is, again, can't be said enough times how wild that is 2 under through 11.
Bogey 3, 2 under through 11. That's right.
And your guy, Tommy, with a little 33 on the front and gave one back at the 10th. So just you guys mentioned it on the preview, but no Finno on the bag, battling some health issues this week. And so wishing him all the best as he tries to get round one in the house.
Just to keep us in the clear real quick, you skipped over P.
Sorry. Oh, that was I was getting that word from the Masters headquarters. They told me to skip that one and just pretend like that was that didn't
Randy
happen.
Picked him. Randy was bullish on P
Randy
this
picked
week.
Him? P stinks.
What does picked him mean at this point? That just means you named him, I think, in the preview at some point. What was
him
what
to play well? Him? Like he
like
was
89
like
guys in the field, and they all get mentioned in the previews. Oh yeah, he's my boy.
I'm very glad you picked Neiman to play well this week, TC, the top five player in the world.
The top five player in the world? What rankings are you?
He's going distance per shot ranking.
After they played Doral, his distance per shot ranking went way up.
Solly, we've got a bunch of kind of not seen on TV stuff that we want to get to from you. I think, Cody, if you got it up, before we do that, let's go to our friends Titleist and FootJoy. We've got our Moment of Joy segment. Let's get to that next. This is, you've seen the FootJoy campaign with Max feeling the joy flying through the air. I think this was their idea for us was like, Let's kick it off with just, it doesn't have to be very producty, but let's just get a moment that really made you happy. I'll kick it off first. A lot of directions I could go. I've obviously got my Brewers hat on. I could talk about the Brewers kicking the shit out of the Reds the last couple nights. I could talk about Neil. A true moment of joy, I think, calling Rom's live team Legion 13, I think was...
No, Legion 23.
Legion 23. That doesn't roll off the tongue quite as much. But that really, really got me. But what I will go with instead is actually a Titleist related one. I got some new wedges. I got the raw finish on my SM10s. And we were in Scotland last week getting some sea air going. And the sea just absolutely like sped up the process of getting these things nice and rusty. I haven't done this since I was like a 12-year-old kid, and you find like a old wedge in the lost and found at the golf course and leave it in a bucket overnight or something. So these things are going to be absolutely prime for the golf season. I can't wait. That was just made me really happy looking down on those.
Those things look like they have iodine poisoning.
I know. No, it's exactly right. TC, what do you got? Moment of joy.
Yeah, a lot of different directions we could go here. Ton of different directions. But first things first, we woke up this morning. I challenged the Masters meteorology people on the live show last night to a duel. And they were predicting 1.5 to 2 inches of rain. And I just said, hey, that's not what my models are showing. That's not what the European model is showing. That's not what the HRR is showing. That's not what the GFS 3.0 is showing. All these. Sure enough, 0.59 inch of rain measured at Craig Airfield just down the road. And that was after a second, like the kind of last storm that came through there. So there was 0.56 as of 7:53 this morning, and then some negligible almost immaterial drops fell later in the morning. But I just want to say we rocked them. I think it brought me a lot of joy to know that the course is relatively dry out there.
Can I ask you, TC, who do you think spends more on meteorology? Like your money through the app or the Masters?
Well,
budget's huge for this. You got to admit.
Again, that just shows that, you know, it's kind of a quotient. Yeah, it's kind of an efficiency model, yeah, right? Exactly. So, all I'm saying is, you know, they overstated it by like 300-400%. So, listen, we dodged a bullet. We rocked them. Course should be dialed for the next 3 days. Looks really windy and a little bit cooler tomorrow, and then looks gorgeous on Saturday as well.
So there's a lot of kitty litter out there, guys. A lot. Like it bodes well for the cat, I think, you know, as he enters into that part of the golf course. Like around 16, there's just so much of whatever that gravel is they pour out in the muddier areas.
TC, a hearty congratulations on that.
Thank
Solly,
you.
Bring us home. Foot joy, moment of joy.
You know what? Honestly, the feeling that made me feel like I was flying through the air like Max in the commercial was Tiger's chip into 11 today, which was really, really, really saucy and really proper. But I'm going to go a different direction with this. As much as he is a goober and I don't like him, he still brings me joy. He had some great quotes at his press conference. He said, "I'm just learning to be myself and continuing to be okay with what happens. And from my perspective, what's been really nice and helpful for me is doing a lot of content on YouTube. As crazy as it sounds, it's been really awesome to see how I can affect a lot of people's lives, junior golfers' lives, middle-aged men, even they're coming out shouting, 'Thanks for the content. Appreciate what you do online.' It's pretty cool to see that transformation and change. I don't know. I have a new perspective on life with that." New perspective on life with that. That made me happy.
That's going to be in TC's obit. People really appreciate what he did online.
People have said that to me before. TC, we love you on Twitter. Bryson also said he's not trying to do new stuff. He's not trying to move things forward or, you know, really like reinvent the wheel. He's just trying to do the same thing every single day. And that seems like kind of a sea change in his head, right?
He's literally playing new irons this week.
Yeah,
different irons than he played last week in Miami. Brand new irons. So I don't know what he's talking about.
He's got that Larry Brown's crank.
Yeah. We got a whole Bryson segment we're going to do.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm glad he's making you feel the joy, though. We love that.
That was great.
All right, Cody, let's get into the main event today. This is our Solly reporter on the ground. You know, I keep getting these phone calls all day from the 760-706, 708, whatever the like Augusta area code was. I'm like, oh, I know this is Solly called me for those stupid fucking phones. I've let this go to voicemail, and he just kept leaving me voicemails about what he was seeing out there. So, Cody, can we please play the first?
He looks like one of my colleagues at the station.
Oh, this is going to be so
Bryson
dumb.
Is 3-under through 3 using something called a crank driver. It's not a joke. A crank driver, a long drive driver. And we're still debating technology. Check in later. Cheers.
I think we're going to get to that one later with KVV probably, yeah. But Cody was not surprised by this at all. Cody subscribes to Bryson's Patreon. I think he knows all the Bryson updates. He's like, of course, he's been playing this driver for years.
He was so proud of it. I overheard him telling another media member about this. Like, you know, what's new with you? It was like, well, I got the crank driver in play this week. I got the crank driver. It's, you know, just under 46 inches, 45.75, I think it is. But, you know, long drive driver. You don't see a lot more of those out here. He was so excited about it.
Honestly, that's a true like challenge him. You go hit that fucking driver and take the lead at the Masters, and then you can say whatever you want. I fully support it. Cody, voicemail number two, please.
This is so dumb.
Champ, Chris Solomon calling in here from the front line. Just reporting to say Scottie Scheffler's poured in an 8-footer on the second hole, and he butts like that, he's going to win by 4. Also, Roy stinks. See you later. Cheers.
I believe Scotty quickly missed a putt right after that on number 3, didn't he? Didn't he have another good birdie?
He did miss a short birdie. Yeah, of course. I'm the cooler. Even when I don't have my phone, I find a phone to be able to be the cooler. But
how many phones are there out there? Like, I know there's the ones off 11.
I have a map, TC. I scouted it out on a map. Oh, here it is. I don't know. I went to the map, and I circled where all the phones are on there. And I just, you know, you just got to be aware. It's kind of like just looking around a room, looking for the exit. I had to look for the nearest phone where that would be if there's something about to pop off. That was the moment, though. I honestly was like, dude, if there was a prop right now to bet Scotty to win by four or more, I would do it. Because if he's pouring in like winding 8-footers like this that he did on the second green, it's donezo. Over.
If you guys like the Scoops Callahan bit, that's going to continue with voicemail number three. This is where things get good.
Champ, Chris Holloman calling in here from the wire. You won't believe what the scene on the 5th tee. Greg Norman waiting on the ropes, just sitting there, waiting for Rory McIlroy to show up, just like he did yesterday, according to reports. Wearing his black shark hat, and he had on black foot joy cleats, like he was looking like he was getting ready to play. His pants looked painted on. I think I saw the third leg. Check in. We will check in later. Clear.
He had a black hat on today?
He had a black shark straw hat on, and he had black foot joy cleats on. Like the debate is over. Can you wear golf shoes to a golf tournament? Yes.
You have a rangefinder on him?
And guys,
rangefinders are sick. I support doing that at golf tournaments.
I had somebody come up and tell me yesterday, he's like, so Norman like was out there like being really awkward with Rory at the practice round yesterday, like walking up to him on five, like on the ropes, like trying to get his attention almost, like being really weird. Sure enough, I show up on five and there's the shark just like hanging out there on the ropes, like almost desperately trying to get Rory's attention. Like, you know, he's turned around talking to people, but as soon as Rory walks up, he like is looking at him and staring at him awkwardly. And it was just the weirdest scene. It was just like Rory never looked over and it was awkward. I didn't think like that much of it until like a later on scene, but we can get to that one eventually.
That's a true person. Yeah. Like, come on the pod and debate me. Debate me. I'm right here.
I'm right here. You want to talk about it? Rory?
Yeah.
Sally, were the Pinkertons and you know other people just coming up to Greg and saying like thank you for all you do, I appreciate you, like no negativity whatsoever. Yeah. They love it.
I thought about going up to him, just hitting him once with like, hey, thank you for ruining the game, professional game of golf. I really appreciate it. Just so he couldn't say again that nobody came up and said anything negative to him.
Well, I think the Greg Norman stuff continues with our final voicemail, Cody.
Oh no, so
more news from the front line. You wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't. We'll start that over. More news from the front line. I wouldn't believe it if I didn't do it with my own two eyes again. Greg Norman, exiting the putting green, walks up to the ropes between 9 and 10 to try to get Rory's attention, has a shit-eating grin on his face as Rory walks right by, does not acknowledge him. We walk up to the 12th tee. John Rahm and rules official Stephen Cox getting into it over pace of play. John Rahm was exasperated, annoyed, yelling at him, looked like, as they're walking off the 12th green, off the 12th tee. Keep your eye on this story. Crack on.
You know, are they going to stroke guys tomorrow?
You don't have any idea how awkward it is to do that voice when there's like people waiting behind you to use the phone booth and everybody can hear everything you're saying. We're on 12. So anyways, 10. Norman is like standing by the putting green, sees that that Rory's going to walk up. So walks over to this rope, just like stands there and has this like shit-eating laughing grin on his face. Rory walks by, doesn't acknowledge him, and then like just turns back around and goes back to the putting green. Like, it made no sense for him to do that other than just to like fuck with Rory in some way. I honestly couldn't believe it. Because I was making the turn towards 10 and I kind of walked by him and I was like, what is he doing? And I went and followed him just to, like, see what he was doing. And I was like, dude, what the hell? This is so bizarre. And then made my way back down to 12. And yeah, Rom took forever to hit that shot, as a lot of guys did. And a rules official from PGA Tour, Stephen Cox, is standing down there by 11 green. And he's got, I assume he was timing him, or I don't know what it was. He was monitoring the situation. And as soon as Rom hit the shot, he took off to go catch up with him and says something to him. And Rom just like,
hell yeah.
I mean, just super animated and like points down 13 fairway, as in like probably saying we were waiting on them or whatnot, but they were way behind. And I don't know if they got put on the clock or what, but that was quite a scene walking from 12T to the green.
God, what an underrated storyline for tomorrow. Like, I think they should send a message. I think it's going to be super slow tomorrow. They got guys going out early and then back out, you know, obviously for the second round. I think they need to send a message with pace of play tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
Also worth noting, honorary non-competing invitees who are present. It's a lengthy list. Greg Norman not on the list. That is, of course, a ticket he has purchased on the secondary market, I believe.
Yeah, he said he tried to third leg. Greg Jr. said that his father had tried to go through the official channels, get one. Obviously, he had to be there to support his live players. And, you know, he bought one on the secondary market. So
cool.
Yeah, can't imagine why they wouldn't want him there, as he's sprinting to the rope line to accost one of the tournament favorites. Sully, anything else you want to add from your, you know, maybe things you wouldn't have seen on TV today before we bring in KVV?
A couple very brief ones. Zach Brown Band out there from McLaren. That version of Zach Brown Band.
Not the Zach Brown Band. Correct. Zach Brown, yes. The McLaren. Yes.
McLaren principal, CEO, whatever you like to call it. He was out there. That was a fun one. There's a guy, an animated guy next to me on the 10th tee after Rory and Scotty tee off on 10. Xander's getting ready to hit, and the guy just like looks up on his tippy toes to see who it is, and he goes, "Ah, screw this guy," and walked away. Like, he was standing near Ted waiting for guys to come to roll up, and he didn't even want to stick around to watch Xander come out. But those are
I stand with that guy,
Alexander.
That's right.
Weird Al.
All right. Well, awesome. I think the voicemails are a hit. We might need to keep that going tomorrow. I think that was a great success.
I can keep them coming. I mean, it was very, very, very awkward. Do you want me to go get tracked down KVV?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Thank you for your service. We'll talk back with you in a minute.
I'll be back shortly.
All right.
This guy stacks saying Stephen Cox, third leg Greg, stroking guys, et cetera.
Yeah. Possibly some Freudian stuff going on from the boys.
DJ, while we have a second here, I'd just like to say how much I appreciated Adrian Meronk.
Oh, yeah.
Cleeks wearing all black today.
There were a couple
of the news.
Yeah, a couple. I consolidated a couple Twitter questions. We can just burn one of those now while we're waiting. But I believe it was from Vinny P. Will TC apologize for Meronk embarrassing the Cleeks today? I know he looked like he was playing with a heavy heart. I'm sure you're, you know, one team, one dream. Everyone is probably beaten up about the OJ stuff, but he did seem to be decked out in all black and also just absolutely played like shit. So I don't know if you have any comment there.
Yeah, he certainly did play like shit. The thing that really bugged me was the fact that he had mismatched Cleeks logos on. He had
the Cleeks have alternate logos, or are you just talking about different colors?
He had the white logo on his hat, and then he had a gold logo on the regular, the Cleeks gold on his shirt there. I was thinking maybe
they'd go for the black glove. I think today was the day.
Maybe he would have done, you know, the purple. Sure. You know, that, because that's kind of the Cleeks alternate uniform there, kind of their color rush uniform.
Their City Connect uniforms.
But seemingly all anybody wants to talk about are Jason Day's pants.
That's true. I'm not going to be participating. I made my my stance known on that. I was canceled many, many times over the head with a hammer. So I think they look stupid. I think he's a fraud. I won't be participating, but I recommend everybody else can make their own takes.
They showed a close up of him on 12T, and like legitimately the pants are causing pace of play issues because they're so baggy.
I keep coming back to every time I'm out, TC, they drag me back in. If this was Minwoo Lee or I don't know, someone cool, I'd be like, dude, I get it. Hell yeah. It's a fashion statement. Jason Day's never done anything cool. Like, this is such fake juice, and it's just absolute like faux outrage harvesting. It's disgusting. Speaking of a guy that is just a fashion trendsetter, KVV, we're bringing you in. I hope you had a great day out there. How are things?
I'm doing great, guys. I was one of those middle-aged men who was thanking Bryson for influencing my life. And so I, you know, for the middle-agers, I hope you feel heard.
KVV, thank you for everything you do online.
Well, thank you, TC. I love to get into it with the haters. It's just one of my favorite things. It makes me feel uplifted every day.
All right. Well, we are not going to be haters on the big golfer today, who you spent your morning following. I want to hear all about that. Let me start. What impressed you most? 7-under opening round. He's never had a top 10 here at the Masters. What stuck out to you the most from today?
Honestly, Deej, it was his short game, which I think is a little bit maybe underrated in this whole sense. He did not play amazing on the stretch from about, 3 to 9. He hit it in the bunker on 4, hit a really good bunker shot from there, hit it over the 5 and hit a really good bunker shot and got up and down there. Hit a not a great shot to the bottom of 6, had a pretty good lag putt, made a par there. And I was just like, man, if Bryson is going to like get up and down from everywhere, that is pretty freaking hard to beat because he's just absolutely nuking the ball down. I was like walking with with Gabby Herzig of The Athletic, and I said, let's go behind 9T because this is like one of the best shots to watch on the whole course, because it just looks like the ball is basically going to touch the moon from back there. Just so high up in the air and drops straight out of the sky. And I just was like kind of impressed. And he obviously went on a big birdie run in the second half, but I kind of feel like the short game is an underrated part of his thing now.
I feel like this is kind of like going to the doctor's office and like no changes in insurance, just need to confirm. Like he is still using the single length wedges, like the 6-iron length wedges around the green, correct?
I believe so. I would like Cody to fact check that though, because I was a little surprised when he said that he'd switched irons and wedges in his bag coming into this week. And of course the crank woods and all that stuff, which we'll get to.
You gotta tell us about the crank.
Well, so I'll tell you what, I had he absolutely nuked the shit out of a drive that went over the walkway, or excuse me, head right to the bottom of the walkway. And I was walking past his mom, and she was like, "That's the crank driver effect." I was like, "Wow, I want to write this down." Like the whole family is into the crank.
It's a family affair.
Yeah. So I didn't know a lot about the crank. Did a little bit of reading about it since. You know, typically a long drive kind of situation.
About cranks.
Maybe we should all get on crank.
And stroking and third legs.
Yeah, it's got like a fire symbol on the face. You know, it's certainly something that long drive people use regularly. But he's had it in play for, 8 months now. He actually put it really right before the 58 at Greenbrier. And he said at the time, this is kind of the kicker in my story, that he said, "Man, I cannot wait for April." So he's been thinking about this week for quite a while. Didn't say, "Well, can't wait for Miami. He said, "Can't wait for April."
A lot of jokes about like the, you know, the par 67 stuff, including from George Truly on the front end. What's the the length? Like we saw that video of him like just hammering balls like next to the quad from a couple years ago where he's just sweating and VJ's like standing there next to him, just kind of like
VJ's all of us. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Thank you, Cody. This one, I truly underdog_golf cannot recommend going and watching this one enough. It is so funny. How does the length like holding up from a couple years ago? I mean, he's clearly like still absolutely nuking the ball, but does it look the same? What's changed? What's the same?
I will say that he's not like straight up the longest person. I mean, he hit it to the walkway on 8, which is, if you've seen how high the hill goes up on 8, it's hard. Cristiano Lambrecht hit it like 20 yards past the walkway. And Jake Knapp hit it into the walkway. So I don't want to say like Bryson's, his length advantage isn't probably quite as dramatic as it was, but his iron play is like a lot better and his putting is still like world class. So it's interesting to see he kind of felt a little bit chastised by all the criticism of the par 67 stuff, which I had read some quotes where there's like, "I don't regret anything. Like it's all a learning experience." But today in the presser, he was like, "Yeah, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have said that. And I, you know, I make mistakes. I'm human." I felt a little bit of
awareness
that's starting to creep in there. TC, I don't know what this means for your relationship with Bryson. Maybe you need to get deep in the YouTube channel and really kind of think about how you feel.
No, I've been celebrating it. I've been
thank you.
Saying all week that this is, I'm glad to have him back and I've missed him. And he's, you know, I don't like, he's just a necessary part of the scene, right?
You have
having
to
the
have
big
him.
Golfer. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of my point. I think is like Bryson is always been a little bit odd, but when he's really good at golf, those two things going together, like his oddness and quirkiness and like freaking ridiculous golf, are a lot of fun to be, I think, a part of the game.
I think truly, like, I've been thinking about this all day, or at least like since this afternoon. And if you told me on, you know, at the beginning of the week, like, "Hey, draw up, you know, put your Kristoff hat on and draw up, like, what do you think the most fun Sunday duel would be?" Like, obviously, personal reasons, like, it'd be great to see Max win a major. That would be unbelievable. But like, non-emotionally, I'm like, man, Scotty versus Bryson, like, that like sincerely might be as good as it gets, man. Like that is so fun. I
even if we don't end up getting that on Sunday, if we get that next couple of days and then Bryson fades or Scotty's wife has the baby, then, you know, at least we got it, right? Yeah. And then something else happens. But I don't know. And him taking his hat off and then tipping the bill of the cap
I believe our guys
trying to take Kumba back off.
Barry had that video. That's good stuff, man. As he said it, it was kind of the Billy Payne fake handshake, kind of not, you know, from the Jordan Spieth, Danny Willett year. Cody, you got my favorite photo pulled up. This was me all day, man. Just staring up at the eclipse, just absolute wonder. I can't believe we get to play a party to this amazing golfer from the Big Golfer. He's back. It's just, that's, you know, truly joyous stuff. And speaking of being back, I think we got KBV back after some brief technical difficulties.
Yeah, I think I got disappeared like in Harry Potter or something. I'm not sure like what happened there, but I'm back.
The haters and losers are trying to throw all kinds of technical difficulties at us tonight, but it's not going to stop.
Speaking of disappeared, I heard Chris Como got disappeared briefly from the premises.
Yeah,
earlier today for posting some swings on Instagram from the range, and his guys had to beg for him to be let back on the property.
It sounded like my gal Jessica Hadwin, who's a recent Trap Jar guest, got also punished for you taking some pictures on property of the par three, and that got put in Twitter jail at least. So,
wow. Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Augusta, awesome traditions, smell the pines, azaleas, rules, spoken and non. I'm cool with all that. Sounds great. If you're going to do all that stuff, then please just put Scotty and Rory in the featured groups. Like, what are we doing? That was so fucking stupid today. I'm clicking around from like, oh God, I think he's on like the 3, 4, 5 feed now. So let me hold on. Let me go, or 4, 5, 6, whatever. Let me go over here. Okay. I guess I can't watch him for 7, 8, 9, but like, I guess maybe I can pick him up again here later. Very stupid way to watch golf. So I could not be more out on that. And I would love to speak to a green jacket personally about that decision.
Well, I can make that happen, Deech. Tim Finchem was here, TC. I was a little group scrum with Tim Finchem. Mm. I should have put some of those questions to him. I know
it's gonna be a little green jacket.
Honestly, it was a little green jacket. That was in the Jack Gary player Tom Watson thing, which I have an important report to share.
Which KBV
Macy's kids section.
Real quick, one other thing that I'd like addressed by them is the Masters doesn't need to be selling the hats with the
skip it,
that shit is embarrassing.
Low rent.
And they need to stop. Market. That is so beneath them.
Calcavecchia is upset that he and Ken Green aren't getting a cut of that because they feel like they invented the skip it contest.
Which I don't think they did invent it. Because there was another guy that somebody had out today or yesterday to hit the shot, and he was playing with Crenshaw the original time, and I guess that's who invented it. So. Mm.
It's a real Facebook situation with Eduardo Saverin here.
If you invented the skip shot, you would have had
the skip shot.
KBV, before we get you out of here, you got to tell me your boy Gary Player's out there on the first tee, with TC's boy Mr. Nicholas. They're yucking it up. There's got to be some gems from
Barbara.
From the ceremonial opening tee shot.
You know what? There was fewer gems from the opening tee shot than there was like from the presser afterwards. I mean, the tee shot went, you know, kind of about normal. I thought Jack actually looked better this year than he did the previous years. Maybe he's on that Gary Player fitness routine. Gary did make sure to sort of comment on that. So, you could just eat less. Everybody should eat half of what they should. And Jack was like, oh, it's so easy for you, Gary. But in the presser afterwards,
Barbara, you know, he's telling me to take Ozempic.
That was a pretty good Jack, by the way, KBV. Underrated Jack from you.
You know who did a Jack today was Tom Watson. Tom Watson did his Jack impression. So apparently everybody does a Jack impression. I don't know where mine ranks in this, but the very funny kind of moments, I think, certainly unintentionally so, because Gary can't hear all that well. And that's, I'll tell you what, the setup is not great in the press room for the olds, because sometimes people don't speak into the mic, and so they kind of catch a piece here and there, half of this. And so,
you know who I'm out on, by the way, the media members who take pride in not speaking into the mic. I'm so out on that vibe. Everybody knows what's going on in there. Everybody knows
all the mics are pointed sideways, Deej, and I crank that mic over to my mouth to make sure the olds can hear me well. But so a very nice young reporter, he asked a question. He said, do you guys have any influence on who might get to be the next ceremonial starters? And do you sort of feel like that should be part of your legacy, that this role and picking that? And none of them clearly could like hear the question, but were a little confused. And Tom leans in, well, I'll tell you about my legacies. You know, on the first tee, I gave all this money and we did a lot of great things. And then Jack started talking about legacy. And then Gary, you know, the, remember
talking about golf Saudi.
The question is about choosing the next ceremonial starters, and Gary says, "You know, I'll tell you what about legacies. Winston Churchill was the greatest leader in history, and they're calling him a racist. They're throwing things at his statue. So that should tell you what legacy is all about in the world. I'll tell you that. And you know what? We're running out of water in the whole world. So I don't know. Like, what are we going to?" I was absolutely dying in the presser just thinking about. You can ask Gary. It's like a Gary Player wind-up machine. You can ask him anything, and you're going to get some incredible quotes. And then at the end, all three of them sort of sat around and talked, and they were just basically, I could overhear them as Fincham was kind of holding court there. And it was like the awesome grandpa meeting over coffee where everyone is just talking about World War II stuff. Like I can hear Tom Watson being, "Well, you know, Nagasaki, they dropped a bomb and they just killed everybody." And Jack is like, "Oh, what about FDR?" And Gary's like, "Like, you know, his freedom is dying in this country." And I can see Watson going, "What do you, hey Siri, what year did FDR die?" God, it's so good. That hey, what my what highlight of the week for me?
Say last night. So Watson just kind of ended the dinner last night.
Yes. So that was the other great moment. I think we'll see this in our Sunday story. But apparently Watson stood up. He asked Ridley if he could say a few words at the end of the champions dinner, and he said, "You know, isn't it all nice to be back together again? Shouldn't we try to figure out a way to make things work and enjoy each other's company again and be united?" And Tom Watson said that it was pretty dead silent, that nobody like nodded in agreement or that it just, and then Ray Floyd got up to go and that was the end of the champions dinner. So kind of like a huge awkward downer.
Ray Floyd said, "I'm going to the strip club."
Tom Watson straight up was the cooler at the champions dinner. Apparently though, TCU sent this.
That's weird because he's got to have a lot of fans in there from some of those totally. Younger players. Yeah.
TCU said that Mickelson wasn't talking again. I saw Faldo sort of said that to Sky Sports.
Yeah, I guess Faldo said that on Sky today.
Yeah, so. Mickelson just keeping to himself. Mickelson finally did media today. He hadn't done anything.
Did he say anything of note?
It kind of seemed like he was feeling the joy out there a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, he's, you know, he's enjoying his time here. Oh, it's so spiritual for me. I just want to be back.
Well, KBV, if you see Tim Fincham tomorrow, will you just get him to start opining on Big J? Like how that's gone.
He kept like deflecting questions because I was going to throw one in there about how do you think Jay's doing? Like you think he's
your hand's going successor. Well? Yeah. Really crushing it.
is he the crank driver?
I don't know, but I guess by Tim's estimation though, he's probably covering up for a lot of the shit that Tim did. So
allegedly
covering his tracks a little bit. Yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly right. All right. KVV, did you file a story already? You writing a story?
I did.
Where are you at?
I filed a story. I think we got Jordan reading it right now. Hopefully, you'll get a chance to read it before it goes up. Make sure I'm not libeling Bryson in any way. I will say, I know TC, we've had this discussion about Bryson and Randy likes to tease me about, you know, how Bryson wants to be Mr. Beast. And now anytime I feel a little empathy for the guy, he's like, "Get out of here. This is ridiculous." Bryson was a little bit likable today. He was, you know, you wanted to feel for him a little bit. I don't want to say he's like chastised, but he did sort of, I've been through some stuff and I don't want to talk about it, but it's hard, you know, and I'm figuring out who I am as a person. I figure out my family loves me and my friends love me no matter what. So, you know, I like it when Bryson's good in the game. I like it when he's goofy and we can talk about it and it's good content, but when he's really good at golf too, that's when in the sweet spot.
Amen. Here. I agree. KBV. Thanks, man. Everybody Boys. Go, probably in the next, I don't know, in the next 30, hour, 40, yeah, minutes. 40 minutes. That'll be up on nolangup.com. KBV, well, I'm sure we'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers, man.
That's great.
TC, I got a segment I put in here for you. I know how much you like to go down the leaderboard. This is going to be called our subtle dogs segment. Okay. You can't go anywhere without seeing that subtle dog logo. As you know, this is just we have Solly pop back in here. Quick shout out of some subtle dogs, some guys outside the top 20, some rounds people may not have noticed. I know you've usually got a lot of these. What do you got tonight?
Yeah. You know what? I'm drawn to Austin Eckroat. I think kind of a weird one. He started out with a double. He was three over through, I think he was, gosh, he was three over through five Perfect holes five. Today.
Yeah.
He eagled 8, birdied 11, birdied 13, kind of a bad bogey on 15, and then doubles 18, but shot 74 with two doubles. I think that portends well. He played well. He got that round out of the way. I think he's going to start kind of running downhill tomorrow. So Austin Eckroat is my subtle dog today. Woof woof.
So you got a subtle dog you want to nominate?
When I was putting this together, this was a fact, but I don't know if it remained a fact as they finished the round. But just after, you know, TC just railed on Tom Kim for not deserving of being in the pairing.
I was hoping you'd go there. Yeah.
Not being in the pairing with Harmon and Koepka. They're all tied. Kim was leading the group as of when I put this together, but they're all tied through 11 holes. So just wanted to give just a subtle dog shout. What happened to the blow pig, by the way? I totally missed that he shot 40 on the back nine.
Yeah, the blow pig, he got exposed on 15 in the wind. He made a double. He had a couple drives today that,
damn,
honestly,
I'm glad I do this.
good buddy of ours, Mr. Rammel, called it an optimized queef. That he's hitting off the tee, and it's basically worse than the drive on 18 at LACC.
Cracked a couple people in the dome out there too.
Without four calls, I must
keep
add.
Keep your head on a swivel out there if you're one of the patrons.
Unlucky. You told us to reach outside the top 20, which is hard because there's a lot of guys at T7.
Yeah, I don't know. That was just loose. Use your best judgment.
Just shout out. I still don't know what's going on with Victor Hovland. I could not have been more surprised to see a name at 4 under par through, I think, nine holes. At one point out in the day, he did fall back and shoot 1 under par. But all right, he's doing it. He's doing something. Maybe some more on him as the week goes on, but there's something weird going on there.
I will quickly shout out a guy TC mentioned in the preview pod, I believe, and that is Lucas Glover, a guy you don't really think about, even though he is a major champion, a guy you don't really think about with majors. Seemingly his game does fit well here, but 1 under, nice round. Probably not a lot of people talking about Lucas Glover tonight, so I'm going to nominate him as my subtle dog. Anybody else you guys need to nominate? We do have we're going to do something different this week. We're reaching kind of that like top of the seventh type of area here. It's clear we're not going the distance. We're going to need to bring in some fresh arms to get us three outs. We got men on first and second. We need somebody to come in with some high energy. So we've got a call to the bullpen coming right after this. But before we do, we are also brought to you tonight by our friends at Foresight. We've been watching a ton of the coverage all week. You know what? You truly can't see any of these guys out on the range without seeing the little gray box right next to them, the Foresight Sports GC Quad or Quad Max launch monitors. They're everywhere. Solly, I don't have to tell you. I'm sure you've seen them all over the range.
Well, that was something that really stuck out today, just watching all these shots and watching balls land. Just, you know, I'm watching the guys tee off on the fourth hole today, Scotty and Rory, and watching how you needed to float a ball, you know, from a elevated tee, just barely over a bunker to a back right pin, and watching Scotty land it just far enough and Rory not land it far enough and fall back into the bunker was just like how dialed these guys get on distance and the effect that, you know, the climate has on the ball and the way they use these quads in practice rounds and all that. I just wanted to say I want to get to this level. I want to learn how to use this thing to where I can really get my distances this dialed. And, you know, I find myself asking these questions like, how are they this precise? The shot into 12, how do they get that number right? Because they spend a heck of a lot of time with measuring devices like the GC Quad and like getting actually dialed in this stuff. And it stuck out a lot to me today.
Sol, you know I'm not a data boy, but this is making me be a data boy a little bit, okay? I've been playing around with it here at sea level, at home. Maybe not non-optimal conditions, and it kind of helps me figure out how my game is going to travel as well. So, you know, we're going up to got some trips planned this summer, and I'm like, all right, how are my distances going to travel here? I'm a big distance control guy, right? Deej, how far does my 8-iron go?
No more important question. Quads and quad maxes were everywhere on the range because Foresight is the benchmark. They set the standard for how all launch monitors are measured. Learn more about them at foresightsports.com. Foresight sports.com. Foresight Sports. Thank you again to those guys for the support.
So easy to use.
There we go. So easy.
You got your launch monitor ready for the takes to see what kind of launch angle they're flying out at.
Let's see what kind of velo our next participant is bringing tonight. I had very clear parameters. I said, come in, get us three outs. I want three takes, your three biggest takeaways from the day. We're bringing in the big, big, big right-hander. Of course, it's big Randy. Randy, greetings, my man. How are you?
He's wearing his Terry Eady hat.
Hey, guys. Nice little golf course down in New Zealand. How are we?
Doing great, my man. I hope you had a great day watching the first round of the Masters. I asked you to come with your three takes. I want to hear first take number one.
First take. We can eliminate a lot of dudes. You know, Justin Ray put out this stat. You guys know there's nothing that gets me going, like a nice cliche. Something that we dudes. Something
guys,
that we learned.
Big hit.
Can't win it on Thursday, Randy.
You can't win the Masters on Thursday, can't guys. But you can lose it. And so my guy Justin Ray tweeted out, Justin Ray Golf, great follow on Twitter. 26 of the last 30 Masters winners have been within five shots of the lead after round one. And expanding that to all majors, 90.5% of men's major winners since the year 2000 have been at five shots or better to the lead after round one.
But we're not done with round one, Randy. So
but we aren't done with round one. That's exactly right. TC, we got guys, though, that have work to do. You know, Brooks Koepka might want to find a couple birdies tomorrow morning to complete his first round. JT, I think we're eliminating you. Cat might need to find one coming in. DJ, Colin Morikawa stinks. I'm off of him.
God, that warms my heart.
Wow. Dome golfer. It wasn't going to be a domey day, right?
You're unhooking the trailer. You are no longer towing him around.
I'm done.
You're selling low.
Jordo, you're done. Unless, you know, he could have some magic tomorrow morning.
I think Jordo might be dead, guys.
What a flip that was.
Well, you never know. So I thought that was interesting. All right, second big takeaway.
One more take in there, just that hasn't. Yeah. I meant to say this around Scotty. The best stat I think I saw all week was since 2005. I don't think the favorite has won the Masters. And again, just I think like puts into perspective what Scotty's doing even more. Like every single person on the grounds is like, who do you think is going to win? Oh, it's probably Scotty. Probably Scotty. And he comes out and plays bogey free today. So, Randy, your stat reminded me of that. Please.
Well, also, Randy, your stat also makes it like 26
not my
of the last
stat.
30
I
winners.
Will say this is
sorry, Justin Ray's stat. The stat yes. that you brought. 26 of the last 30 winners have been within five. That's without a dude like Scotty out front, too.
True.
That makes it even more terrifying. Like maybe it's three this year. Maybe it's four. You know,
a little bonus tweet people can see on the screens. This was Scheffler's first career bogey free round at the Masters, and he's the third reigning world number one to open the Masters with a 66 or better. DJ shot 65 and one in 2020, and 3LG third leg Greg shot 63 in 1996 and just finished second runner
off.
Close
one
for him.
There's no way he could have lost that one.
I know.
Take number two.
Yeah, take number two.
One out. Easy pop fly to center field. That's exactly what we needed. Runners do not advance.
And listen, I know you guys have covered a lot of ground. I've been watching. Great show. I wanted to add a little context around the big golfer. You know, tomorrow, I truly believe tomorrow is a big day for the big golfer. Unbelievably, I was kind of digging back through his career here at Augusta. Today's just the fourth time in 25 career rounds that he shot in the 60s. In the 60s, eerily reminiscent, I think, of 2019. Bryson went out and shot 66 in round one, but ended up shooting 75 in day two and limped to a tied for 29th finish. So he's going to play late tomorrow. He's going to get, hopefully, TC, hopefully the models are good. He's going to get some wind. I think
models look consistent all day.
It's a big day for him to follow up that 65. I think, and he doesn't have to do anything spectacular, but I think anything from like 70, 71, even par 72, I think is a good day, but should be fascinating. I think all eyes deserve to be on the big golf for tomorrow.
One thing I'll shout out for Bryson today in his post round was he was talking about how much you need to learn this golf course and talking about humility and not trying to be the smartest guy in the world. Like he seemed to admit that a little bit of like, you know what? Like, yeah, like I needed more loops around this place and I needed to learn stuff. And Luke Curtinine had a good tweet about just how much of a mess he's made on 3, 4, and 5 over the last few years. And if he cleans that up now, everybody was making a mess on 5 today. It was so hard. It looked
so
like,
but, hard.
Hard. You know, a couple guys were blowing it into the stands long, right, which was disgusting. But I think if Bryson can get a good start tomorrow, he should be kind of home free, I think.
Just real quick, stick your neck out. I'm selling Bryson right now. Like this is the top. This is the top right here. Take your profits. Sustainability models say number one in strokes game putting today. I'd be stunned if that continues for four rounds. I'm selling.
What does selling mean? You're saying he's not going to win.
He won't win, and I don't think he's going to be like a serious contender for it. Wow. It's a great round. Right. I'm happy for him.
I have a lot of top five stock on him. Would you sell that?
I would sell.
Interesting. I'm going to sell.
When are his exemptions up from his?
That was 2020.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Okay. So we're coming up. You know, we're coming up on it. But as always, like another year, big finish at one of these tournaments kind of does a lot for your world ranking. So, Big, that was I think a line shot to the third baseman. Nice defensive
loud
play.
Out.
Yeah, loud out. I need you to get this guy. This next guy. Let's leave no doubt with this next guy.
Guys, listen, we just got to talk about Scotty. I know you guys covered him. Not much to add. Unbelievable round. I think I've taken a lot of heat about my comments several years ago about Scotty not passing the eye test. And today really caused me to look in. You know, what do you guys do when you're confused, when you're directionless, when you need inspiration? What do you turn to? What do you guys like to do?
That's a big question there, Big.
Jeez, kind of a tough question because I turned to my uncle who's
with us. Well, TC, I'd invite you to maybe, you know, grab the good book and start reading some literature there. Cody, if you will, I found a quote today that I think is what I need to start living by. This is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And what essentially, guys, what Matthew is talking about here, the eye test just isn't gonna do it when we come to somebody like Scotty when he's on a higher level. I cannot trust my eyes. I was living a life of pride and hubris, and so I found this message today, and that's it. I cease to. You will not hear me talking about Scotty, the eye test. Some things aren't supposed to make sense. We have to leave room in this world and in this life for miracles, for wow. And I invite you guys to join me there.
Randy, were you, speaking of the eye test, were you and Cody working off of different translations?
Because I sent him a picture. I'm going off of the King James version, the LeBron Bible. So I'm not sure.
He respects his career.
That's on me. I may have sent my guy Cody the wrong exact translation, but you guys get the gist of it, okay? The Bible is very explicit about the eye test. You do not need to trust your eyes. You just go with it. Scotty feels like such an inevitability. Just super impressive.
I was looking slider, and you froze me at the top of the zone there. That's exactly what we needed, Big. Thank you for hopping in. You're gonna be locked in tomorrow. I believe you're on the show tomorrow, right?
I think I'm scheduled for the start. Yeah, we're a little worried about this arm.
He's an opener.
But yeah. Horrible pin location on 16 today. I did want to say that. It did dawn on my Deej. I was glad you agreed with me. We need to put a bunker right in the center of the green on 16. I think it would make that tee shot so much more interesting and fun to watch.
I'll leave you guys with that. Without a bit, wholeheartedly agree with that, Big. I think that's a phenomenal idea. That green's so big, and it's not interesting to watch. I think that was one of those takes that you know what? I tip my cap to you. You were on that block for years. Years and years, and I said, Randy, you're a heretic. This is stupid. Go away. I'm having fun. Tiger almost made an ace. And today I was like, this sucks, man. Everybody's just stuffing it in there. This is boring.
The front left one is good. Like that has a lot more element to it. This one's just, this didn't really do a whole heck of a lot.
So I will ride with you. Pop bunker in the middle. Shout an homage to the captain, George Thomas. I'm in.
Exactly.
Randy, enjoy your night and enjoy what looks like a new domicile as well. Looking great, man.
I'm glad to see you progress
out of the Unabomber's cabin that you spent the last couple weeks in.
Randy, I'll see you out in Brentwood
for the memorial
on Sunday or Monday.
All right, couple quick things we're going to get to before we go. These are quick Twitter questions. Tyler Munson fashion corner, please. I'm glad you asked. TC, we had a lot of spirited back and forth. We obviously already mentioned your guy, Maronk, decked out in all black today. We saw a little bit of the ceremonial first tee shots. Let me start with my favorite outfit of the day today. All right. And this might surprise you guys. Cody, actually, you've got my least favorite app, so we're going to go with that one instead. This is Sergio. You know, TC, you said you could not get enough of this. I think
mean it's good. It just means I couldn't get enough.
I think he looks like a sandwich artist, maybe from like 1993, looking very Subway.
Shout out to your guy, Jared.
My guy. This is awful. This is not what we're doing. This is not who we are. This is not what we're about. This is an insult to the entire Masters organization, Masters tournament, all the green jackets.
That was after he rinsed it on 11.
Take this away.
His wedge. Yeah, I thought it was garish. maybe a tribute to the, I guess, the Green Bay Packers long time, like 50 year equipment manager retired today as well.
It looks more like the Fanatics, like the Australian guys.
Yeah, you know, maybe he's got some issues with the University of Texas athletic department, and he's going down to Waco, which obviously Bob Griffin and Jared, they were friends as well from Subway. So, you know, all that. I don't know. He looked awful. He did a reveal this morning as well at his rental with Angela, Mrs. Garcia, in their rental house, and they were both wearing matching stuff, which makes it 10 times worse.
Guys, I'm just going to get out in front of this. This was my favorite outfit of the day. I unironically, I loved it. I think the Fireballs need to be doing weird shit like this. He was immediately recognizable on the course. Out. I don't really even know why, but this was not even like hilariously working for me. I loved this fit.
I got several DMs and tweets today from people who spotted you out on the course. They said they saw the blueberry on the telecast.
I'm not even that blue today.
They said you were wearing all blue hat, white and blue shirt, and then blue shorts.
Today was it was a hard day to pick fashion stuff because everybody was wearing all blue. Everybody had just like very muted stuff. Usually people bring the noise a little bit more for round one of the Masters.
I think that leads us into the blow pick.
that's a great point. So please take it away.
Yeah, the blow pig was talking a big game, huffing and puffing, threatening to blow some of these fashion houses down after the last couple days. Said, you know, wait till you see. He wore this on Tuesday. He said, wait till you see what I have for tomorrow. Of course, Wednesday comes out, which much less egregious in my opinion.
I kind of like this actually. This. Yeah, that's good.
And then you're thinking, what's he going to come with for Thursday? And he wears just like this weird peachy.
I mean, a fine outfit, but you know, very forgettable.
Yeah. So I don't know. Blow pig kind of, you know, talking a big game and then not really backing it up there. So
I didn't get a chance to get a screen grab, but I loved Rory's pants today. Kind of not really lavender, but kind of purple pants with the purple belt. That was sharp.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that leads me into my favorite outfit of the day. I think he's taken kind of inspiration from what Rory was wearing. He's taken a little bit of the good stuff of what Wyndham had. That's my guy, Big Tone, had a great fit on today. He was really going for the lavender. He had kind of like a tie-dye lavender type of look with the good hat and good pants. Just, that's a hell of a look from Big Tone. That he's pulling it off. I absolutely love it. And he played pretty nice. I think he was under par today. So, yeah. You know, way to go. Poo-poo in the potty for Big Tone.
I think honorable mentions, just I don't think we have the visuals for him, but Hatton's shirt was god awful.
Yeah, bad. Jenny McCarthy's shirt was also
bad. I was gonna say Lee Harvey Oswald's shirt was like one of the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah, so not good. What other Twitter questions here?
Wait, we have to do the main culprit of the worst fit of the day. Like Twitter's definitely worst fit of the day.
I mean, Jay Day, right?
Right, yeah.
Oh yeah, sure. I mentioned that one.
We already kind of
mentioned that when KBV was on. Yeah, if you have anything to add, you'd
which
like.
I guess he's. I guess it's going to be 10 times more egregious tomorrow. Like the sweater that he's wearing tomorrow is.
Here's what I'll say. Hopefully, you're getting paid a lot of money to do this, Jason. I hope you're doing well. It needs to be enough that you don't have the DeWalt with it. Like if you're going to be like a fashion statement, you can't have a yellow DeWalt thing on the hat, right? You pro golf outfits are kind of supposed to be a billboard for all your ads. You got to think that kind of stuff through. if the baggy pants are coming back, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to be 4 years late on it. Okay. This is not, you can't wear those kind of pants in the wind. And it's just, it's not for me. I don't, if that's for you, that's great. Don't cancel us again.
Respect your career.
I respect your career if you're going to play golf in those pants, but I will not be partaking.
It's exactly where I'm at, Solly. If you're trying to make a fashion statement, you can't also sell power tools at the same time. Mm. Get the fuck out of here, man.
One last call out. I think Victor Hovland's shirt, it looked like Georgia O'Keeffe was painting very, very vaginal flowers on a black canvas, like a dark canvas. And then he had these like white patches that looked like NASCAR patches for his sponsors, because they couldn't put the sponsor logos on the color of the shirt. It was awful start to finish.
Very, very sexually charged show tonight. what else we got? A Mart, what insane things? I want to hear one from each of you guys. What is Bryson going to put on his champions dinner menu?
Pigs. I would say it's cut up hot dogs and mac and cheese. That's for sure making it in.
What if he just does all like pork, like ham, bacon, pork belly, pork tenderloin,
just all the pig.
He needs something with bacon, and he needs to be in there cooking it shirtless for everyone for the dinner.
God, that was epic. People don't.
And he has an Orgain smoothie for dessert.
Guys, what did Cam Smith do today? I haven't been able to look that up today, but I've not heard any discussion. Maybe. He's one under. Okay, yeah. All right, that's good.
Yeah, swing totally. Looks super laid off.
Didn't it look weird? I don't. Yeah, I'm not a swing guy, but it looked like he's like so far across the line, further than he used to be. It just didn't. No,
pretty clean round though, like bogey free except for a double on 12. He birdied 2, he birdied 6, birdied 15. So, Solly,
I want to ask you this one. This is from the Nate 89, and I think this is probably referencing Scotty's shot that stayed out of the water. Do the Harry Banks on 13 get as much hate as the ones on 17 at Sawgrass? If not, should they? If you did not see it, Scotty hit his second shot into the 13th. By all accounts, should have gone in the water and somehow hung up, and he has a pretty easy chip, you know, to get up and down for birdie.
So that one, from what I could tell, I was surprised how soft it hit into the bank. Like, it didn't seem like it was the hair that held it up. It was like it just hit far enough on it that it didn't repel it directly back into it, right? And we couldn't see it. I was surprised it was still on grass. I think it'd be different if balls were like ripping back into it and getting held up into rough. That's a problem. But I think a ball that was moving with any kind of speed would have found the creek. Of course, it's a lucky break. So I don't think they need to shave that bank tighter just to make sure every ball goes into it necessarily, though. That was what, a 20% chance that ball was going to stop there. With one more revolution, it might have rolled all the way back into the water. It's very different from the architecture at Sawgrass.
I'm super willing to give them a benefit of the doubt for today too. Like, it's not like they could get out and mow those banks this morning. Yeah. It seems like they're shorter grass than it has been in years past on 13. 15 other spots. I don't know how Max's ball stopped there on 12.
Yeah,
that was insane.
Rory on 15.
Yeah. So also, I said that Cam was laid off. He was over the line.
Across the line. Yeah.
Across the line. Under arrest. Arrest.
God, we podcast too much together. Very quick one from Benny Betts. What club logo, a club I'm sure I'll never be able to afford, is on Stu's cap today? I believe that was Deepdale Golf Club. So Benny Betts just give a shout out to our friends in the Northeast there.
Follow some of TC's bets and you might be able to afford that one.
That's exactly right.
Stu battled today.
How's the big parlay looking, TC?
You know what? Not bad. Not bad. Hideki's kind of, we need something special from Hideki to make the cut tomorrow. But overall, I'm pretty pleased. Would you say, I mean, DJ is a fellow stakeholder.
Yeah, no, I think it's about half the guys under par, a couple guys, one or two over. And then Our boy Decky is four over, which is kind of dragging us down. So we need something special to happen. But God, if we get all those guys to make the cut, I mean, it could happen. Set your watches.
Guys, I also want to give a shout out to our new partner, of course, at FanDuel. Our boost hit. So when round one is complete.
Hit hard.
Yeah. Everybody expect a good payout there, but be on the lookout.
Yeah, Tiger was what, one under through three?
That's right. So. That was huge. An easy one. Massive birdie on one today.
Yeah. Also, all the people in the comments accuse me of being drunk. I'm dead sober. I wish I was drunk, but apparently I'm, this close-up's not doing me any favors was what I've heard, but I've not been able to partake with the boys.
I think you're doing fine. Oh, I wouldn't worry about them. Sorry.
It's your question too. The stack and tilt, Rick D's top 40 plays doing really well.
Yeah.
Well, so we're in the mix.
You know, it was
all
so
all my LPs and I.
So stupid was like seeing the line actually move on that. What was like a 12 person parlay? Like the line came down so much. There's so many people tailing that. It's gotta be huge if that hit in week one.
Yeah, the line went from plus 100,186 to like plus 67,000. Like people were crushing it.
What do these guys know that we don't? TC's all over this. All right, Cody, let's bring it home. So this is something Cody and I, I'm sorry.
I can't. I've been trying the whole show to figure out which way to move my hat to straighten it. I keep making it worse.
Oh, dude.
And I can't with the headphones on.
I had to wear it. Yeah. Go ahead.
We haven't talked ROM at all. Are you guys buying or selling on ROM for tomorrow?
I feel like tomorrow we're gonna get to ROM. We'll have a little more clarity on what's going on, but I'm not impressed. He sounds very weird, very weary in front of the microphone. He just doesn't have the same joie de vivre. He just seems a little bit like a lesser version of himself, which sucks.
Why do you think that would be? Why is that?
Truly. It's just every interview, it kind of feels like he's a little guarded. He doesn't want to really say anything, and it just when you also don't go out and like play well, it's just it's a massive L for everybody. Wish he was up there with Scotty and Bryson. Yeah, it's always got the Dontrelle Willis hat going on.
Do you know who's up there with Scotty? That somebody that I did not see this coming fired a 68 first round back, first round of golf back in like 9 months.
Dan Willett. How about that? Will it or won't it?
Can we feel like we should talk about Tiger a little bit? Maybe Tiger Woods. I mean, the dude hasn't played a full golf tournament this year, showing up at 35 mile an hour gusts and just executing crisp shots, awesome chips, scrambling, making the putts. Like that's the main reason I was selling Tiger coming into this. I was like, yeah, he might hit some good golf shots, but I don't know if he's just going to be able to pour in those feely outside the hole 6 footers. And one under par as he's getting ready to. Did he finish 13? I had to step out for a second. You're getting ready to play 14. Five holes left. I feel like that's what I should go out and watch tomorrow morning. I don't know if how big the crowds will be early on, but
you should go out there, watch that, and then watch him watch Tommy a few groups later. Mm,
good one.
Coming up too. Tiger's up and down on 12 was filthy.
It was so good. He's kind of just got that. Weird, that little Tiger stalking thing going on. Like he's really feeling himself around the greens right now. It just kind of looks like he is a weird bit of confidence. I mean, I don't know how many times we can say it of just saluting just this legendary talent that is able to channel it for this tournament, right? If this was Bethpage right now, if this was Pinehurst, if this was Truant, this would not be happening. It's this place, and he manages to do it on nothing but rust. And it's just remarkable.
Here.
I think the one spot I was a little surprised with was when he tried to shove that ball into that pin on 10. Yeah. He got up and down from the bunker. That's something Tiger wouldn't normally do, I don't think. Like, that's not a green light pin. But, you know, it's, and guys, great honor that, or great tribute from him. He hit it down to the, what we've renamed the Hertz counter down the left side of two, which was really, really cool.
ZJ visited that today from 8. I was trying to make a shortcut down the left side of 2 to catch up, and I got held up because ZJ had to flip punch one back from into 8 fairway.
Your captain.
I watch way too much of ZJ's conversation with his caddy on 12. You can take all that that away.
My brain's fried. I'm just going to not talk for a little while. Okay.
Cody, should we bring it home here?
Let's do it, buddy.
All right, we are going to this is spurned on from TC being apoplectic about some of the mock Champions Dinner menus that were out there. I loved listening to that on the happy hour. TC just going off about how bad everybody's selections were. So we said, you know, we're gonna stick our own necks out. We're gonna put our name on some stuff. Cody and I are gonna go first. I think maybe we'll have Randy's tomorrow, Solly's on Saturday, and then we're the main event. TC's will be Sunday. He's sourcing all kinds of fake ingredients right now. Cody, you want to go first?
Your honor, sir.
Oh, my honor. Okay, here's what I got cooked up. I don't expect anyone else to even like this. This is kind of like where I think we got to start from. Is like, I'm not trying to show everybody how much I know about food and wine with this menu. I'm just trying to pick my favorite things to eat. So we're going to start with the Asian Caesar salad, which you guys know well, that was only served for like 2 months at Bandon Trail at the clubhouse. We've been like 7 years ago, they made this Caesar salad. Every time we've gone back, Randy and I have asked for it. Nobody can seem to find the recipe. We've reached out privately to Bandon management, tried to find a recipe, can't find it anywhere. We'll track it down. If anyone can do it, it's probably the Green Jackets. We're also going to go with some cheese curds in homage to my home here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My favorite cheese curds down the road at Cafe Hollander, here in Milwaukee.
That was the place you took me. That place is excellent.
It's exactly right. We probably shared a curd or two together.
We did.
Main course, we're going up Oakland Avenue. We're going to Oakland Euros, and we're going to get some chicken shish kebab. Pita, hummus, chicken, lemon, feta cheese, tzatziki, a little bit of rice on the side. Again, this is like an $11 dish, but it is truly my favorite thing in Milwaukee. It's so freaking good. So, you know, would love to share that with VJ and, you know, the Charles Cootie and a lot of these illustrious past champions. I think would really get a kick out of Oakland Euros. For dessert, my wife Justine's carrot cake is my favorite. A little homemade cream cheese frosting on that. And then for coffee, we're going with the Block Party medium roast, you know, from our guy Drew Pond at Stone Creek Coffee. Any questions, comments, concerns there?
Yeah, what if I don't eat meat? Is there a pescatarian option?
Yeah, we can maybe get some tofu in for the Euro, for the shish kebab,
order off the menu, right?
Yeah, I think that's totally fine. Do you think anybody in that room doesn't eat meat? Maybe Phil? Bubba might still be a pescatarian?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Similar to the Volvic thing, it didn't last that long. Totally wrong there. That's a complete guess.
That's a good build, TC. I'll work on that.
For the record, I do eat meat.
No, it's a good thought. Cody, what do you got? I got to imagine there's probably a little bit of meat on this one.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, DJ. Yours sounded delicious. Of course, I'm going to start with a nice, we put down charcuterie board, but it's actually going to be a table. It's going to be a grazing table, assorted meats, cheeses, fruits, nuts, and of course, some spreads. I'm a big fan of fig, but these are only hand selected from NATO countries. I'm drawing the line. NATO countries.
What do you think about cocaine Mitch McConnell's, he called out NATO today. He said that the Canadians aren't pulling their weight.
I'm a little worried because Canada just invested like $10 billion into NATO like 2 days ago. So I think Mitch, you know, he needs to retire officially, not like in the year 2028. But I feel this. I'm excited about the grazing table, though.
The grazing table. I love it.
My first course is going to be a Lebanese lentil soup. It's, of course, courtesy of my uncle, Zach. His name is redacted there because my uncle, Zach, is a long-time interpreter that I had overseas, traveled across multiple countries with me, and he's actually still wanted by ISIS. So I can't put his real name out there. But, of course, we're going to have some homemade pita chips with that. Yes.
Do you think you're going to get him into the kitchen for this?
I hope.
Okay.
I hope Cody passes a background check, but yeah.
Cody, cool to see you honoring your uncle that's yeah, exactly. Wanted. I had an uncle that was wanted for all.
That's what I was thinking too.
Acquitted though.
We're kind of echoing with each other a little bit here, Cody.
I understand Lebanon's not a NATO country. I was just strictly at the first course. Everything, once you advance there, it's a coalition of the willing, you know, and we open it up. We're widening our borders here. When we get to the main course, TC, I'm sorry, I also went with a couple meat options.
Oh, that's fine.
A New York strip, and of course, a ribeye option. I originally was going to go from a meat proprietor that is near and dear to my heart. That's Little Belt Cattle Company out of the great state of Montana, except for they're actually being canceled right now, or people are attempting to cancel them because one of their co-founders is not saying some truthful things. Maybe not. Who knows? But if you're tied into Montana politics, you might know a little. But instead, we're going to former 175 Ranger. Got out Ranger Cattle Company out of Austin, Texas. Amazing meats. You can get it at a lot of restaurant steakhouses in Austin. So
is this Wagyu? Is this prime?
This is American Wagyu. So he's, you know, went to college. He served in the military, then went back and went through a egg program at Texas A&M. Probably the only good thing that came out of A&M. And then actually went over and went to Australia, spent some time in Japan, and brought back actual, like, you know, some DNA. And then has his own little cell planting, whatever. I don't know how cows do it, but he's got some American Wagyu going. You're going to get some seasoned frites, cream corn, courtesy of my wife, and then some Brussels sprouts, the way that I like them. A little bit of mustard in there. And then, of course, dessert, Montana mud pie. Hopefully people have had that before, but if not, it's delicious from Montana's best export, and that's Wilcoxon's ice cream.
This sounds great.
It's a good menu.
That's good stuff.
For somebody that's just been chowing on cold chicken sandwiches and pimento cheese, I'm really fucking hungry right now. God.
Yeah, but they're cheap.
That's true. Well, that sounds like a good reason to end it. Solly, thanks for hopping on. Cody, thanks for running the ones and twos. TC, thanks for joining us with a heavy heart. Masters, you know, it never disappoints, man. This was another fun one. I'm excited for.
We got a lot of golf left. We don't have a full day of golf in. We got a lot of golf left. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Guys, tomorrow's going to be a long day for you. Guess what? I'm actually calling. I'm calling in. I'm not going to be here tomorrow night. I got a big date. It's actually father-daughter dance night for me. So
huge.
Good luck with the show. I'm going to be wrangling three little girls trying to, I'm sure, dance to a lot of Taylor Swift.
Well, we is will, Scotty winning at the end of the night tomorrow?
Yeah, I would say.
No. Yeah.
No?
I think so.
I would say yes. It's only going to get harder, right? We didn't even talk about the weather. Isn't it supposed to blow like gusts of like?
It's going to blow similar to this afternoon. Like pretty much identical conditions this afternoon. Probably a little bit drier.
Pins will certainly be harder tomorrow. I bet. They'll put up on 16, up the top shelf on 16. They'll probably go to the back tee on 4. That's a change.
Some of the surrounds down a little bit too, right?
Yeah, I think it's gonna get nice tomorrow.
Hell yeah! Well, guys, thanks for joining. Cody, enjoy the dance tomorrow, and we got a long one. We are so early in this. So
thanks for tuning in.
We will talk to you guys tomorrow. Cheers.
Cheers.
And thanks for all the kind messages, people. Seriously, appreciate you.